Bibles, and let's start in 1 Peter chapter 1 this evening. last week we were in 2 weeks ago we were in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we just looked at the first several verses, and several asked me a question after the service about a word. And so this evening we're going to do a word study, and the word is elect. This morning we did a word study on the word alone. And you think, what in the world could possibly come of that? But it was very interesting to be able to trace that through the scriptures and see where it falls. Doctrine that is affected by that is the doctrine of God. He is God alone, and that comes up quick, very easily seen when you go to the definition. And the definition is that first word. You go to where a word is first found in Scripture. We went to Genesis 2:18. Genesis 2:18, God had created man, and he said it is not good that man should be alone. Now, Adam was in the garden. As I said this morning, he had a dog, he had a cat, he had an ostrich, he had an elephant, but he did not have human companionship. And so God made him, Eve, a woman that was a help meet for him. Help meet is not one word, it's two words. A help that was meet for him. That led us into the doctrine of God, and God alone. There's no other God beside him, none. That took us to the New Testament. If you have a dispute with someone, a brother in Christ, brother trespass against you, you are to go to your brother alone. You're not supposed to go to your brother by email, text messaging, carrier pigeons, smoke signals. And so as we followed that word this morning through the Old and the New Testament, it carried that meaning from Genesis 2:18 all the way through. It's called the principle of first mention. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Calvinists take that word elect and they force a meaning on it. We're just going to take you through and show you the word study tonight. This morning alone was 108 times in the Bible. So we did not look at all 108 scriptures. I did, as part of my preparation for the message. This evening there are not near as many verses that have this word in it. We're going to do the same thing we did this morning, in that we're going to go back to the first mention. And then we're going to follow that through. Calvinists come to 1 Peter and they say, God chose some people to heaven and God chose some people to go to hell. Last week we had the Lord's Supper, and last week we just considered verses throughout God's Word that said, whosoever will. And we didn't hit them all. So when you take this word and you say, God chose somebody to heaven, God chose some people to go to hell, you have an immediate problem with the word whosoever will. Because if it's whosoever will, then it can't be God chose some people to go to hell. It just can't be that. So what's the problem? The problem is that this is a latter definition of the word. It's not the first. But let's trace it. We'll let you see. And before we do that, let's pray. Father, I pray that you help us this evening to be students of the word, to be discerning. Because there are a lot of churches that are going a Calvinistic route. And they don't have to go soul winning, knock on doors, tell people about Christ, pass out gospel tract, because, well, you've already chosen people to go to heaven and to go to hell. And we don't have anything to do with it. But we know that is not true. Amen. That you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But how do we answer those that would force that meaning on 1 Peter? Father, I pray that you'd give us understanding hearts, and that we would be students, diligent students of your word. And we'll thank you for what you do this evening. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. First mention, let's go back to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah has several mentions, and we'll look at several of them as we go through, as we turn to that book. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Principle of first mention. You find where the word is first mentioned in God's Word, and it will hold that definition throughout all of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. Behold my servant. This is talking about Jesus Christ. Here's an easy question. Does Jesus Christ need salvation?
No.
No. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment from the Gentiles. And you go down to verse 7. This is not the exact passage that Christ quoted when he began his earthly ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel. But this is very close to that. Verse 7, to open the blind eyes. Did he do that? Yes, he did. To bring out the prisoners from the prison. Them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So if you say elect means salvation, then you're forcing the need for Christ to be saved, and Christ doesn't need to be saved. And that's taking the back end, 1 Peter, and forcing a definition on the first mention, which is totally opposite of what we're supposed to do. So what is this talking about? Jesus Christ had a purpose, chosen for a task. And what was that? To go to the cross to provide salvation. The spirit in question is God's Messiah. The spirit in question is Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And was he? Hold your finger here in Isaiah, and let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus fulfilled that? Yes, he did, in more ways than one. You study the New Testament, and you'll find that is true. Matthew chapter 12, verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, where were we just reading, Isaiah? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, elect, chosen for a purpose. My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 17. Let's start at the paragraph. The paragraph begins in verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? The spirit of humility that John had. Jesus answering said unto him, imagine the Savior looks at you and says, this is Old Testament prophecy, do it. And Christ looked at him and said, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fill all righteousness. John, recognizing that he had just been rebuked by the Lord Jesus Christ, suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending. Now, I know all the pictures. You can go to the Bible bookstore. You can see the Jesus as the Spirit descending in a dove floating down. That's just not biblical. He did not descend as a dove. He descended like a dove would descend. And so you imagine looking up and you say, what in the world am I seeing? Something like I've never seen before. And it looks, as it flutters down, it looks like a dove landing. It's like a dove, but was not a dove, despite what all the pictures say, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, boy, I tell you what, if you were there, this would give you goosebumps. This is my beloved Son. Wow. In whom I am well pleased. Was that confirmed by God himself? Absolutely. That Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God, was elect, chosen, not for salvation, chosen for a task, chosen for a purpose. And he was. Jesus Christ was chosen. Again, not for salvation. Jesus Christ is God, but he was absolutely chosen for a task. Go back with me to Isaiah chapter 45. Again, looking at Isaiah 42 verse 1 and the word elect. Try not to get distracted, sidetracked this evening. Does that have anything to do with salvation? And the answer is no. No. Unless you want to go to the fact that he went to the cross and provided salvation, but that's not the emphasis in chapter 42, verse 1. Isaiah 45, let's start at verse 1. This is a great chapter. That's a great chapter, a great set of verses. Cyrus, this is 175 years before Cyrus was born. I don't know, who do I pick on this evening? Nelson and Neri, do you have any grandkids? No. Okay, no grandkids. You have kids, right? Yeah, you need them to get married, right? Yes. Okay, all right, just plugging for you, girl. Do you have the names of your grandkids picked out yet? You have a few suggestions in your mind that you think, no, none at all? Okay. God knew who Cyrus was going to be years and years and years and years. And we're talking about grands and grands and great-grands and great-great-grands and great-great-grands. And God named Cyrus by name. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, I will loose the loins of kings. Of course, that's talking about Daniel and the handwriting on the wall. And the king was thrown the feast to what haven't I defiled? And hadn't defiled the vessels that had been set apart for the worship of God. And then Christ comes into the room, the handwriting on the wall. God writes many, many tekel upharsin. And the Bible tells us in Daniel that he messed his pants. His loins were loosed. That's how frightened he was. And God said that was going to happen 175 years before it did. Do you have any problem with God knowing what's going to happen in the future? I don't. He absolutely knows right down to the intimate detail what's going to happen. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two levied gates, and that is how they got into the city, through the two levied gates. When did God tell that was going to happen? 175 years before it did. And the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. That's what they were made out of, and cut in asunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, not individual, but Israel, mine elect. Israel was chosen for a purpose. Go back to the principle of first mention. Jesus Christ was chosen, selected for a purpose. And this purpose, through Israel, takes you all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. I'll make of thee a great nation, I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And Abraham and Israel were supposed to show the world God's salvation. They were chosen for that purpose. They set that purpose aside. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, rose again the third day, met with his disciples, which instituted the church age. And today, the church has been chosen for a purpose. The church is elect, and we'll show you that when we get to 1 John. The church has a purpose, and that is to show forth God's salvation to the world. We are supposed to be lights. Again, Christ's first message, Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine. Until when? Until the rapture. Trumpet sound, dead in Christ shall rise first. Should have been in Sunday school this morning. Brother Olmsted did a great job. Asked tough questions by some folks in the room that he might be related to. Tribulation period, two witnesses, 144,000 Jewish evangelists. What are they done? They are chosen for a purpose. They are elect. According to what? According to the foreknowledge of God. God knows this is going to happen, and so he chose Cyrus And he has chosen, before the rapture, he has chosen the church to show that during the tribulation period. The two witnesses, 144,000 Jews, they are chosen for a purpose, but not chosen for salvation, because not every Jew will be saved. Turn me to Isaiah 65. Isaiah likes the word elect. Isaiah 65, verse 9. Well, let's start at verse 8. That's paragraph. Thus saith the Lord, as a new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and my elect, Israel, shall inherit it. My servants, plural, shall dwell there. And again, it's to a group, it's not to an individual. And to say that elect means that God chose individuals, an individual to salvation, is just not being true to the definition. Not in the first one, not in the second one, certainly not in the third one. It's plural, it's to a group. It is not to an individual. You'll not find that. Verse 20, same chapter, Isaiah 65. Verse 22, they shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, talking about Israel, and mine elect Israel shall enjoy the work of their hand. Were all Israelites saved? No. You go to the book in the New Testament and you read that not all of them trusted Christ, not all of them received Christ. Many rejected Christ and still do today. But they, in the Old Testament, up until Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, were chosen for a purpose. The church, we have a purpose. And I'm not against chili. We'll do that. Is that next week? Men, don't forget chili cook-off next week. Men are cooking. I'm not opposed to chili. Church fellowship. Going on a bike ride tomorrow. Ray, you going with us? No. He didn't even have to pray about that. Not opposed to bike ride, but our number one purpose is to show forth Jesus Christ. We are elect. We are chosen for a purpose. Not chosen for salvation. We are chosen for a task. Jesus Christ was elect. He was chosen for a task, for a purpose. We have a purpose. So somebody says to me, Pastor, we don't have enough fellowship. Well, we have a Sunday school fellowship. We have a 11 o'clock fellowship. We have a 6 p.m. fellowship. You're here. We have a Wednesday evening fellowship. We have a Saturday morning fellowship at 9 a.m. You can come and join us and get food and then sit down for some preaching. And where is Nathan? A great message Saturday morning. Nathan brought the challenge for us Saturday morning. And we go out knocking on doors, telling people about Christ. And how long have we been doing that, man? 30 years. And somebody said, a preacher will say to me, I said, Brother Bishop, how's that knocking on doors going for you? Doesn't matter if it's working. It's my purpose. It's what I do. It's what the church has been chosen to do. Shine forth that light. Are you shining forth the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Because that's your task, that's your purpose. You are elected to do that. Welcome. It's your task. Kobe Bryant scored 81 points. Number two high scoring game. It's at the Staples Center in L.A. L.A. Lakers versus the Toronto Raptors. And in one game, he scored 81 points. The final score was 122-104. There's no mention of the team, no mention of the team name in the article. But if they just had his points, they would have lost. Why? Because basketball is a team sport. No mention of the team, no mention of the teammates, no mention of the other people that got on the court. Just Kobe Bryant had this game, and he scored 81 points. And I'm like, what's a teammate? And I had to look. You didn't know? I didn't know. If I didn't have it in my notes, I still wouldn't know. He was hired, chosen, elected to play basketball for the L.A. Lakers. Am I right? L.A. Lakers? I should be looking at Theo. Where are you at, Theo? Oh, there you are. Okay. L.A. Lakers, right? Say, Pastor, what does that have to do with salvation? Absolutely nothing. What does elect have to do with salvation? Nothing. Except that those in the church, hopefully that you have trusted Christ, but once you've trusted Christ and you're in the church, you have been elected for a purpose, for a task. And that's to tell the world about Christ. Let's continue looking. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is the Olivet Discourse. Matthew chapter 24 is the first mention of elect in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 24... Matthew chapter 24 is, it's following the rapture. We're in the tribulation period. The Jewish people are going through the tribulation period. Midway through the tribulation period, we have the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel by Daniel the prophet. And Matthew, in writing, Jesus Christ, in addressing that, Matthew, in documenting that, if you're a Jewish person and you've now become a believer in Christ, you come to the midpoint of the tribulation and go, oh, this is the abomination of desolation as spoken by Daniel the prophet. Run for your life, because you're about to enter the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. We've been studying that on Wednesday evening. And not to go into all the detail of the trumpet judgments, and the vial judgments, except to say it's going to be a horrible time on mankind. In Matthew chapter 24, God says to the Jewish people who have trusted Him as their Savior, run for your life. Don't go home. Don't pack a bag. Woe to be to the woman that's with child in those days. Hit the road. Run. Run for your life. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonder, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The very group, okay, the church is gone. Now we're in this 7 years. And during those 7 years, that task falls back on the Jewish people. Again, you have the two Jewish evangelists. You've got the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And what are they doing? They have been elected, chosen for a purpose to let the world know that there's judgment. There is salvation. But there is judgment, and there should show forth that light to the world. Is the world listening? Well, I don't think so, because the two witnesses, are going to be killed. Their bodies are going to lay in the street of Jerusalem. They're going to be there for 3 days, and the world is going to pretend like it's Christmas. They're going to give one another gifts, because the two men that kept preaching righteousness and God's salvation and live right and do right and accept Christ and repent of your sins, they're gone. We don't have to listen to the message anymore. And 3 days later, God raises them up. Yeah. Mouth drop open. Cell phones are recording the event as they're taken back up into heaven. You would think that might cause you to say, maybe I should rethink my position. No, but they do not. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. He shall send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather them together. They shall gather together his elect, the saved Jewish people during the tribulation period that have been chosen for the purpose of heralding God's salvation. They will be gathered from the four corners of the earth. Turn with me to Mark. Mark chapter 13. And again, what does that have to do with salvation? Nothing, unless you force a meaning on the word from the end in Peter. But if you're following the progression of what the word means, chosen for a purpose was Christ, chosen for a purpose was Israel, chosen for a purpose, was Cyrus, then you're going to understand that elect means chosen for a purpose. And you're going to read this and you're going to say, oh, that's chosen for a purpose, because that's what the word always means. And it does, until you become a Calvinist and you come to Peter and you say, oh, it means that God chose some people to heaven and chose some people to hell. It is just not good scholarship. And it is not being honest with the book. Mark chapter 13, verse 22, for false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect. Those people during tribulation period that have received Christ, that have been chosen for a purpose, tell the world about Christ. Mark chapter 13, verse 27. Then shall he send his angels, shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth. Where did they go? Where are we supposed to go? Go ye into all the world. It's our job, it's our task, Matthew, right? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. It's what we're to do. And God's plan not going to change during the tribulation period. That's what they're supposed to be doing. Mark chapter 13, verse 27, send his angels. Luke chapter 18, verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he hear long, though he bear long with them? And every one of the New Testament references is not talking about, not a single one of them, it's talking about an individual having a choice. It's talking about a group. And what is that group? That group is Israel. Up until the rapture, that group is the church. Before Christ came into the world, before he went to Calvary's cross, in the Old Testament time, that group was Israel. God's always had a plan, a task, a purpose for his people. God's got a purpose for your line. Wilt Chamberlain, 7 foot one, 275 pounds, born in 1936, scored 100 points in one game. Phillies versus the New York Knicks, March 2nd, 1962. May Breeden, were you born? Were you alive in 1962? May's back there shaking her head. No, I wasn't alive in 1962. Never mind, May. We'll move along. May was born in like, for Alyssa, May was born in like, I don't know, 1928? 28. Okay, so you were probably alive in 1962, right? Yeah, probably. Okay, 1962, March 2nd, Hershey Sports Arena in Pennsylvania. Final score was 169-147. Basketball is a team sport. I'm glad he scored 100 points. That's kind of neat. Have I ever scored 100 points in a game? No. Probably not scored 100 points in my career. He scored 100 points in one game. But if all they had was him, they would have lost by 69 points. Why? Because basketball is a team sport. Did he have a job? Yes. He was elected. He was selected. He was paid to play basketball. But basketball is a team sport. He was one person that was chosen for a purpose to play basketball. I'm glad he scored 100 points. What does that have to do with salvation? Absolutely nothing. Say, preacher, why do you keep saying that? Because God has a purpose. For God had a purpose for Israel, God had a purpose for the church, God had a purpose for Israel during the tribulation period, and that is be part of a group that tells the world that there is a solution for sin. What has to do with salvation? It's nothing. It's a team sport. We're supposed to herald the message, but it doesn't provide it. It doesn't mean God chose it. It doesn't mean that God selected some to heaven and some to hell. It just doesn't mean that. Turn to me to Colossians chapter 3. So Israel's chosen for a purpose. The church is chosen for a purpose, a herald out of that message. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God. And we're chosen for a purpose. As we fill that purpose, what should we do? We should be holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, some things we should put on. Put off the flesh, put on the spirit, put off the old man, put on the new man. Why? Because it's really hard to shine for the Lord when you're using profanity. When you're on a dance floor. When you're at the bars, boozing it up with your buddies. And we're supposed to put those things off. Why? Because you've been chosen for a purpose. Don't mar the vessels. And Nebuchadnezzar got in trouble in Daniel because what haven't we defiled? And he defiled the vessels of God that were designed for the service, for the honor, for the glory, for the worship of God. Amen. What, know ye not that your bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, and ye are not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. And that is being written to whom? Well, let's see. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints, plural, and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. To the church at Colossae. What are they supposed to do? The same thing we were supposed to be doing right now. And that's telling people about Jesus Christ, letting our light so shine that they see Jesus. Messages for the church, the group. The message to Colossae as the elect. It's to the group, to the church group. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. So if you take elect and you say, elect, God chose some people to heaven, God chose some people to hell, God chose some angels to heaven, and God chose some angels to hell, and you got a problem. If you understand the meaning, chosen for a task, chosen for a purpose, a group chosen for a purpose, then you come to this and say, well, the elect angels, they were chosen for a purpose. And that makes perfect sense. If you put salvation as the meaning of the word, then you have another problem here in Timothy. Go to Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and to the acknowledge of the truth which is after godliness. Again, written to the church. And then we come full circle. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, who is he writing to? He's writing to a group, to the strangers which are scattered abroad. Throughout where? Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Elect, chosen for a purpose. What were they doing? Same thing we're supposed to do. We're supposed to send the gospel into the world. And during the tribulation period, the same thing they're going to do. Why are they gathered from the four corners of the earth? Because that's where they went with the message. And Jesus Christ said to the disciples, go ye therefore into all the world. They did exactly that. They had a purpose. They were chosen for that purpose, and they went with the gospel. Where did they go? They went west into Europe. They went east into Asia. They went into North Africa with the gospel message. And that was before planes, trains, and automobiles. How'd they get there? Had feet. Horses, mules. And they talked people along the way. Go with me to 2 John. If you believe according to purpose, then this makes perfect sense. You have a group of people, they're scattered all over the place, but they have a purpose. They've been chosen for a purpose, as you have been. And that purpose is not for salvation. That purpose is to show forth God's salvation. 2 John, let me get there, chapter 1. There's one chapter, one verse. First one. The elder unto the elect lady and to her children whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that know the truth. Now you read 2 John chapter 1. If you understand it's to a group chosen for a purpose, and you come to this and you go, this must be a church that's chosen for a purpose. And you would be absolutely right. But if you believe that means salvation, and you can go out there and read, then you've got to come up with some lady and a name and say, well, this is Eunice. Where'd you get that? Where did you find that? You certainly didn't find it in the book, but you'll find guys out there, they'll say, well, this is to a lady, an individual person who was chosen for salvation. But that's not the meaning it's had all the way through the text. This is a church. And then, John is writing to an unspecified church congregation. And you understand that. You come down to verse 13, and there are we have sister churches. Did you know that? Churches that we fellowship with? Churches that fellowship with us? Next month, we're taking the teens to a sister church. We've helped plant churches. Tomorrow, the yellow bus that we're not using, we're going to... We're given to another church. And Brother Andrew Logue, whose church we helped start, whose building we helped get, who Ray went down there and helped them figure out how they could take this building and transform it into a church. We have invested in their life, and they are a sister church. Now we have the opportunity to give them a bus. They'd be able to use it for bus money. It's just really exciting. What are they? They're a sister church. What is that? Verse 13, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. So not only the church congregation, but the churches that were started out of the church congregation becomes a church, a sister church, another group. And what is Brother Logue doing? Same thing we are. Knocking on doors, telling people about Christ, running a bus, telling people about Christ, having a Sunday school, telling people about Christ, baptizing people. It's just an exciting thing to be a part of. New England Patriots were playing the New York Giants. The Super Bowl. New England was ahead 14-10. With 1:15 left on the clock. Eli Manning ran a last-minute pass. David Tyree out-jumped safety Rodney Harris. He leaped up and grabbed the ball, and he caught the ball between his hand and his helmet. And he held on to that thing for dear life. And the Giants won the game and beat the Patriots. Now you Google that game, or DuckDuckGo it, and you'll find that's the one that comes up. That was one play. That was one pass. That was one receiver and one quarterback that threw one good pass for a change. Now, what were they? Is that the whole game? No, if that were the only play, they would have lost. If they were the only two players, they would have lost. If the blockers wouldn't have blocked, they would have lost. Why? Because they're a team. Lighthouse Baptist Church is a team. Church is a team sport. And we're all in this together. And we, our church, has been elect, chosen for a purpose. And that is to reach our region for Christ. And we're serious about that. You want to join us on Saturday morning? You can and you should. Pastor, I don't like to talk to people. Then you go up, smile, and hand them a gospel tract. You don't have to say a word. Hey. Walk away. But don't let fear stop you. Don't let sports stop you. Because they have a really important task. What does Eli Manning football have to do? This one play about them winning the game? Well, very little. Except they were part of a big team and a big effort to get something big done for Christ. What does it have to do with salvation? Absolutely nothing. What if somebody in our room decides not to block? Does that mean God's salvation is in effect? We can have victory. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we need one another. I need you to pray for me. I'll pray for you. I need you to encourage me. I dearly desire to encourage you. But our goal, our task, what we have been selected and elected to do as a New Testament Baptist Church is to take the gospel message to the world. That's our task. Are you up for the challenge? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're here this evening, I'm here to tell you that God did not choose you to heaven, He did not choose you to hell. It is absolutely whosoever will. Whosoever will may come. You're here this evening, you never trusted Christ as your Savior. You say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart, I'm not saved. One young man last week after the service sat down with one of our men, and that man led him to Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And if you are here this evening without Christ, you will not be the first, you will not be the last. But I tell you what, you are in a church that understands we have a purpose, and that is to give you the gospel. We're going to do our best to do that. That's you this evening. Say, Pastor, here's my hand. I raise it up to say, I am not saved, but I need to be saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. Second question. I'm a Christian. Preacher, here I'm a Christian this evening. I know Christ is my Savior, but I really could up my game when it comes to getting the gospel message out. And I need you to pray for me tonight. God, give me a boldness and a desire and opportunity to get in the game and represent Him. And that's my desire this evening. Okay, let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I thank you to be part of a church congregation that gets it. We understand we have a purpose, we have a task. This is our time. This is our community. It's where we are. And we are here to herald out that gospel message. Help these folks, give them boldness. Help me, give me a boldness. Give me a desire. May I be forward thinking. May they be forward thinking. Put some gospel tracts in their pocket as they head out the door. And then on Saturday or whatever day they set aside a time that they'll physically force themselves to go out and herald out the gospel message. That is our purpose. Right now it's easy. In tribulation period it will not be easy. But right now it's easy. We've got an easy task. Help us to embrace that task. Every head is bowed, the piano is playing, the altar is open. You want to pray, you can. You want the preacher to pray for you, I will. You obey as God speaks.